Okay. Everybody grab a seat and we'll get started here. How's everybody doing? Okay, so I got a story for you guys to start off with. So, a tale is told about a small town that had been historically dry, i.e. no alcohol. But then, a local businessman decided to build a tavern. But a group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. And it just so happened that shortly thereafter, a lightning strike hit the bar and burned the bar to the ground. The owner of the bar then proceeded to sue the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible for the lightning strike and the tavern burning down. The church, in turn, hired a lawyer and argued back that they were not responsible for this. The presiding judge, after hearing the initial review and opening arguments of the case, proceeded to state that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in the power of prayer, and the Christians do not. Okay. So the question is, what do we believe about prayer? What do we believe about prayer? As you can tell, today's sermon is on prayer. I was not entrusted with Hebrews. David is guarding that closely to his heart, but I do have some scriptures from Hebrews. Aha. So as you guys, if you've been around for a bit, a lot of times preachers tend to share what they're gifted in or something that God's given a passion or a gifting in that they can impart to that congregation. This is not one of those Sundays, because prayer is like not at all my strength or my gifting. It is something that I struggle with on a daily basis. Maybe some of you guys can relate to that. I have a hard time praying. I'm a checklist kind of guy, and we'll get into that. So this is not one of these occasions. So what I'm sharing with you is me up here sharing what God's put on my heart. And in the meantime, I'm hanging out back here in the pews with Zach, my brother here, listening to, because God's speaking to me a lot about this. So my prayer in all this is that you guys, this is a huge topic, obviously prayer, it's a huge topic. But my prayer today is that I share with you what God's put on my heart through my struggles and through my successes and challenges and failures in prayer, that God would inspire you and challenge you and speak to your heart. He would convict you, that he would encourage you, and that he would grow your faith in the power of prayer, that prayer would become a more consistent and more awesome tool in your arsenal to fight the battle against Satan and against flesh, and to have a closer relationship with God. So my heart is, no matter where you are in your walk in prayer, is that you would take a step forward today. Get some ideas, get some thoughts, get a challenge, and take a step forward today. So my big idea in this is that God has called us all to a beautiful and a powerful relationship of prayer based in faith. Beautiful and powerful relationship in prayer. And we're reading out of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're in verses 5 through 15. So if you guys could all stand, and we're going to enjoy the reading of the scripture.
Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, you can be seated, teaching his disciples about prayer. And he's sharing with them two truths that we're going to get into, these two truths. The first is that prayer is an act of faith between us and God. It's an act of faith. And that two, prayer can and should encompass a very wide variety of communication. And we'll talk about that too to help you give you some ideas in your prayer life. So our focus today is on personal prayer life. There is corporate prayer life, which is awesome. And that is powerful, and there's a lot of cool things happening in that. But there's, again, it's, prayer is hard to do everything on. So we're going to focus on the personal prayer life. So my challenge is, I'm going to pray for us now, and my challenge for you is, as you pray, as I'm praying, just ask God to speak to you through this sermon. Ask God to show you different things, to challenge you, to convict you, to inspire you. So just open your heart to hear what God's speaking to you. All right? Let's pray. Father, as we dive into this vast and awesome topic, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us, Father, that we would hear your voice, Father, as we read your scriptures, Lord, and as I share what you've put on my heart, Father, that you would speak to me and everybody in this congregation, Lord, and that you would challenge us and inspire us, that you would give us ideas and inspiration and thoughts, and Lord, that you would grow us in our own prayer life, Father. You would build up our prayer life in an awesome way. Lord, that it wouldn't just be a habit, that it wouldn't be something that we struggle with and are constantly convicted about, but Lord, that you would grow that and continue to grow that into us, that it would be our lifeblood, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to us today, Father. We are open. We hear your voice, Father. Be glorified in all that happens in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, so first of all, we're going to kind of work our way through this section a little bit, talking about the power of prayer and the prayer of faith. So Jesus starts right here, and right at the beginning he gets him. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Already he's jumping right in there. He says, and when you pray. It's not if you pray. It's not if you get a chance to pray. This is some good things to keep in mind. He's talking about and when you pray. You see, again, prayer is a regular, consistent, supposed to be a regular, consistent part of a Christian's life, normal part of our Christian life. So when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. So he's going into these motives on prayer now and talking about those. And he's going into this first one, basically, about the attention and the praise of people, not to be focused on that. So what had happened in their culture was Jews had set times of prayer during the day. They had these set times of prayer. And so, I mean, they would be going about their day, and then their cell phone would buzz with their alarm set, and it was time to pray. Not quite like that, but so a lot of times what the Jews would do is they would stand up wherever they were at, and stop whatever they were doing, and they would just belt out their prayers, and it was all just a show, basically. I mean, well, not always. Some of them were probably doing it out of heart, but many of them were doing it, were like, look at how spiritual I am, right on time, and I've got a really cool prayer that I'm going to pray too. And they were standing up, and they were doing it out loud, because what they were doing was trying to appear spiritual, trying to get the attention and popularity of the people. But it doesn't work on God. It doesn't work on God. You see, it got God's attention, but not in the way that God wanted it to, or that they wanted it to. God was condemning them because their motive in prayer was just for show. Just for show. And the other thing he talks about in here as a motive is when it was just habit, basically. Prayer was just a habit. It wasn't out of light, or it wasn't out of faith, but it was just saying empty phrases. He says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. And what he's talking about in there is a lot of times in the pagan practices, what they would do is they would sit and they would just pray these repetitive, constant prayers over and over again in front of whatever idol or deity they were worshiping. And that was how they figured this would get God, their whatever God it is, attention, as they would just pray these rehearsed, repeated prayers in front of this idol over and over and over again. And he's discouraging as Gentiles pick up the Christian faith, them from kind of adapting that and making that their prayer life now, is just these repetitive, habitual prayers that have no life or no meaning. And how does that apply to us? I mean, maybe it can be some habitual, lifeless, apathetic prayer that we pray from a checklist. I mean, if you've just got a checklist and you're just praying through, God bless my wife, my kids, my dog, my cat, the food, all this stuff. If we just are going through that with no heart, just out of habit, I don't think that gets God's attention in a good way. It's these apathetic prayers with no heart, with no life. And maybe it's the prayers that we pray over our kids at bedtime. And maybe it's the prayers that we pray over our food, just if they're repetitive or constant or just out of habit. And trust me, I'm not condemning praying over our food and praying over our kids before they go to bed or anything like that. Those are all awesome and all good. But if they just are done out of lifeless habit, this repetition, this vain repetition, we're missing what God's called us to in prayer and the beauty and glory of what prayers are and what they can do with no habit, if they're just habit, no heart. And he's also saying, too, it's not a matter of how much we pray. It's not about how much we pray, but it's about our heart on why we are praying and how we pray. So then we get into the right motives in here. Why is God asking us to pray? It's not about the praise of people. It's not about repetition. It's not about how many words we say. It's not about looking cool or looking spiritual, checking something off a list. And there's a few that he talks about in here. One he talks about is relationship, prayer based in relationship. If you look at verse 8, he says, "Do not be like them with the repetitious prayers, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And that kind of spurs the question always. So if God knows what we need, why do we need to ask? If God already knows what our prayers are going to look like, why do we need to do them? Like, God, you know, amen. Why do we need to pray then? The heart of it is, it's relationship. God is seeking a relationship with us so that we can know him and he can know us. It's not about the words, the right words that we pray, saying everything correctly and perfectly and organized, but it's the relationship that we build with God as we pray, as he knows us and we get to know him and we have this awesome conversation or dialogue in prayer. I want to jump here to Revelation. This one's an extra one. I don't think we have a slide for it. But in Revelation 3:20, this is Jesus speaking to the church, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." See, God is inviting us into this relationship. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, you know he's God. He doesn't need to stand down there at the door and knock. He could just go, "Door, be gone," and the door would blow out. God would come in, sit at our table, and hang out with us readily. But he's inviting us into this relationship. It's not a forced thing. He's saying, "Hear my voice, come, and I will come and eat with you and talk with you." He's inviting us into this relationship in prayer and in Bible reading and in so many things. God's inviting us into that. And that's what he's talking about in prayer in there. It's not about what we say and saying the perfect words, but it's that dialogue, that conversation as Jesus comes and sits with us and talks with us. And another right motive in there for prayer, faith. And we'll talk a lot about that today. Verse 6 in there says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And that's the cool promise that we can have in faith as we pray to God, that our prayers are heard, that we're not just shooting them out into the void, but we're giving them to this God who is actively listening, who is there waiting for us to pray, who who is watching for us to pray, who is hanging on to our words to hear what we would speak to him, and that our prayers are cared about, and they do have an impact in the world around us. And we'll get into that too. They do change us, and they change the world around us. But do we believe in the power of prayer? Do we believe what God's doing through it? So here we go. Now we're going to jump to Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6. So we are preaching through Hebrews today. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if we come to God in prayer, first of all, we have to believe that God is there, that God is real, that God is active. That takes faith. And that God rewards those who seek him. That there is a benefit in prayer, that there is a power to prayer. Do we believe when we pray that the God of all the universe is hearing us and that it matters? Do we truly believe that our prayers matter? And what does that reward look like? It doesn't really say. It kind of leaves it vague. And your Father in heaven will reward you. What does that mean? We're not talking prosperity gospel. He's not going to make you rich necessarily. He's talking about relationship in part, as we talked about before. But there's so much more than that too, and we'll get into that as we go. And one thing that God's spoken to me many, many times is that prayer takes more faith, I think, than about any other spiritual discipline that there is. Prayer takes more faith. It's kind of like a litmus test of our real faith, of where we're really at in our faith. You see, other disciplines in the church are pretty easy to check off. I mean, like, woo, I read my Bible. A Bible a day keeps Satan away. All right, good deal. I've read that. I went to church this week, I fasted this week, I attended life group, I did communion at church, I'm doing good. I mean, they're measurable, somewhat measurable goals. But prayer's a little bit harder. When have we prayed enough? I mean, like, if we pray at dinner, is that a checkbox? Do we get a check prayer for the day then? When is prayer enough? I mean, what do we do in that? You see, there's no trivia test to see how much we got out of prayer, like Bible reading. We can read a lot, and we can like do Bible trivia, and we can ace it, do good. For the ABIers, you can do good on your tests and on your paperwork when you read. Sweet, good job. But in prayer, there's no test for it necessarily. There's no measurable goal for it. There's no set goal on how far we get in prayer, no end goal. There's very little structure offered in prayer. How much do we pray? How often do we pray? All these different things out there. It's not measurable. You see, it's entirely between us and God, done in secret. You see, only God and you know the reality of your prayer life, and God knows it even more than you do. Only God and you know what the reality is of your prayer life. And the truth is, if we truly have faith that God hears our prayers and that our prayers matter, we will not struggle in our prayer life. If we truly believe that our prayers matter, we won't struggle in our prayer life. Do we believe that they matter? You see, if we do have faith that our prayers truly matter, that God of the universe is listening, he cherishes our prayers, he's listening to our prayers, he will bend the heavens and earth to move in response to our prayers. If we truly believe that, man, we will not struggle so much in prayer like I do. I know. It's kind of like this stool. If we stand, yeah, okay. Sorry, I couldn't pass that one up. But it's true, the same idea. I mean, if we believe that prayer matters, we will act on it, we will live it out. We will pray faithfully if we truly believe that prayer matters. Do we? That's the question. I love this verse. This is James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, or 13 through 18. James 5, 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. I love that prayer. There's so much in there. I mean, we see these examples of how of what prayer does. I mean, it brings healing. Elijah did it to bring this drought and then to bring rain again. I mean, God changed the whole weather habit, the whole weather pattern in response to prayer. All these awesome things he's talking about in there. Forgiveness that comes through it too. The power of prayer. And he says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Has great power. Not just power, but great power. What kind of power? Great power. Great power as it is working. And I just love that. I mean, if you're looking at as it is working, it is working. Prayer is working. Prayer always is working. We might not see the answers to it. We might not know what happens. We might not get the response we want. We might never even know in our lifetime what our prayers accomplish in some cases for some things that we're praying on. But prayer is working. It is working. All of our prayers don't just go into a void, but God is working through them. It has great power as it is working. You probably heard the saying a lot of times, well, in this situation, all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray. And it always drives me nuts, but I'm half the time the one that says it too. But this saying, all we can do is pray, you know, that's not like, it's like a wimp thing, like, ah, shoot, I guess all we can do is pray. No, so much for that. It's not a last resort wimp move in prayer. It is awesome and it is powerful. And prayer can accomplish far more than we can on our own efforts. Far more than we can. But so often we try to accomplish things in our own effort that prayer could accomplish so much better if we will have the faith to pray, to see what God will do. You see, if we are struggling in our prayer life, it shows that we do not have faith fully in what prayer does. Or that prayer really matters. If we're struggling in our prayer life, it shows that we don't have the faith in prayer that we should. There's a saying in sports, maybe you've heard it, that says, we are what our record says we are. And that's, you'll hear teams say that a number of times. And it's a very valid thing. I mean, basically what they're saying is, I mean, you see all these teams built up with all these superstars and amazing players and good players, and everybody's like, yeah, this team's amazing, they look really good, they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, the championship, or something like that. And then they flop. And then they go downhill and things go bad, and then they'll say, we are what our record says we are. And basically what they're saying is that despite what we look on paper, despite what we might appear or what we should be doing, this is who we are. We are not winning. We're not doing well, basically. We are what our record says we are. And in the same way in our prayer life, basically. Our faith in prayer is what our prayer life shows it to be. What faith that we have in prayer is what our prayer life shows it to be. Meaning, if our prayer life is struggling, it shows that we have little faith in prayer. Our actions will always show out what we actually believe. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Do we really believe on it? And we're going to dive back into that in a little bit, but just to give you some inspiration and motivation in here. The beauty is, as we get into this passage here, Jesus doesn't just leave his disciples hanging like, guys, come on, this is what prayer isn't. But he talks a little bit about it and gives us some guides on what prayer is that will help motivate and stir them up to pray and to be more effective in their prayers. And this is where we get the Lord's Prayer. See, he doesn't just leave us hanging in this guilt, but he gives us a guide. He gives us a starting point to help us in our prayers. And this is where we get the Lord's Prayer, the classic Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to go into depth on all these points. Boy, that would be, I mean, you could do a message on each and every line in the Lord's Prayer and be plenty good. If you want it, we have done messages like that. So there's this purple guide in back. I don't know why it's purple, but it is purple, so you won't lose it. But it's in back on the bookcase. You can have it. It's kind of a prayer guide on praying through the Lord's Prayer. I mean, the points on it and the thoughts on it. And it's got some great ideas. If you're struggling in your prayer life, you just feel like you're bogged down and getting stagnant, grab this and keep it in your Bible and look at it. Let it give you inspiration in your prayer. Again, not just a checklist, but let it give you inspiration in your prayer life. But I'm just going to go through some of these real quick, just so you get an idea on what aspects of prayer are out there. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." See, he's starting with prayer and worship, which is an awesome way to start your prayers. Because one, it gives us the proper setting that we're praying with respect to the God of the universe. This isn't just our homeboy who's next to us hanging out with us. It's not this casual thing, but it's this awesome relationship with the God of all the universe. And it's also a reminder of who we are praying to give us our faith, to give us a buildup in faith. We're not praying to some God who can't do anything, just out there, hey, if you can do something on this, great, that'd be great. But we're praying to the God who created the universe, who can do anything at any point that he chooses to do. It's to build up our faith as we pray and to build up our expectancy that God is listening and will answer, and that God is well able to answer any prayer that we can think up. And then he talks about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this gives us an expectancy for God's kingdom. When John prayed at the end, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." That's an awesome prayer in and of itself. And it's also a good reminder of what we're living for, how we should be focusing on our prayers is on God's kingdom, the building up of God's kingdom. That should be the focus of our prayer life, what we're about, what we're trying to build up for. And then he talks about, "Give us this day our daily bread." And he talks about praying for our needs. And this is the one part of prayer that I think oftentimes gets abused or misused, maybe, because we just kind of get stuck there. And our prayer life just becomes this repetitious praying for, "God, I need this and this and this and this and this." And you kind of probably heard it before. It's kind of like treating God like a vending machine, like insert our prayer, God gives us candy, or whatever it is. I mean, just whatever we need, like, "God, we need this. There we go. Thank you." And it's not a relationship in and through that. I mean, if you guys are married, you can relate to this. Maybe it's just me, but a lot of times I'm a checklist kind of guy. I'm a get stuff done kind of guy. And so we'll sit a lot of times, Tracy and I, at night, the kids are in bed, and we'll just be sitting to talk. And I'll be like, what immediately comes to my mind is, "Tracy, you know, tomorrow we need to do this and this. And later this week we need to do this. Oh, and don't forget to do this. And then we need this." And if you've been married for a while, you know that doesn't go well at all. It does not end well. It doesn't go well. It does not build intimacy. It makes her mad and tense and stressed. And it doesn't accomplish a lot. It makes it more of like a business relationship than a marriage, than a relationship. And that's sometimes how our prayer life can come across too. It's just this business relationship. "God, I need this and this and this to be this and this and this." And there's no relationship in there. And get my heart on this. I am not saying that we should not pray for our needs. It says right in there, pray that God would give us our daily bread. But not to make that the center of our prayer life. It should always be a part of our prayer life, but not the center of it. And then he gets in there and, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Forgive us our debts. And what that's guiding us into is kind of this forgotten thing of repentance. Repentance is an awesome thing. If you haven't studied it out, man, that's another sermon in and of itself. Repentance is a beautiful gift from God. To be able to turn from sin, to have God forgive us of our sin and walk in the newness of life, to turn away from sin and turn to the beauty and glory of Christ and receive his forgiveness. And repentance should be a daily thing. It shouldn't, I mean, I sin daily. How many people here sin daily? Good job. If you don't, pray for me. Or just pray for yourself that you would see that you sin. Good. But that is huge for us, is that gift of repentance, and to include that into our prayer life, to take a minute and ask God's forgiveness for where we have sinned and receive that. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Daily repentance, it's hearing God's conviction and turning from our sins. And then he talks about forgiveness in there. In verse 14 and 15 too, to, you see, forgiveness is key to God, who he is. It's the whole reason that Jesus came to earth, to give forgiveness. We need to be those who forgive, and that should be a part of our prayer life as well. And then he says, and lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our holiness should be another part of our prayer life, that we would ask God to help us walk out in a holy, godly life. And there are so many other areas to keep in prayer. I'm just going to mention a few real quick. Politicians, we just had the election that just happened, obviously. Some are sad, some are happy. Man, but no matter what, pray for politicians. They need it. Pray for the president. Pray for the new president. Pray for Senate and Supreme Court and Congress, local and federal, and all of those guys. 1 Timothy 2 is very clear on that. Pray for those who are in power. Pray for them. No matter what side on the issues you sit, pray for them. Pray for the lost, that God would give you an opportunity to witness to them. Daily, pray that God would open your eyes to see people, to love them, and to reach out to them. Pray for our family. Pray for your wife if you're married. If you're not married, pray for your wife or your husband. God can answer that one too. Pray for your kids. Your Bible reading, take your Bible reading and turn it into a prayer dialogue with God. I mean, as great as you read something, God, that's really good. Thank you for giving me that. That's cool. How can I live this out, God? Help me to live this out. I mean, pray as you read through your Bible about it. Andy talked about meditation. Turn that into a prayer dialogue with God as you read your word. You see, God can do some pretty cool things with that as we talk to him as we're reading our Bible. Prayer and worship. Man, I mean, some of the songs that we were singing in worship are great prayers. The whole Psalm 84 one, the whole thing's a prayer. We don't even really realize it when we're singing it, but it's a prayer, and it's an awesome prayer. Pray as we enter into that worship. I know I keep, both in my Bible and on, I jog on an elliptical in the morning. I've got a prayer list on each of those things. Again, it's not praying through a checklist, but it just helps me remember some things to pray for, some things to pray about, just to help me if I get stuck, to give me ideas. And I'm going to give you one more, too. This is a different one. The prayer of lament. Lamenting. Maybe you guys haven't done that a lot, but you do lament. I'm sure you all lament. You just probably don't know it. And you don't turn it into prayer. See, it's a forgotten thing that we see in the Psalms a lot. It's this prayer of just pouring our heart out to God, sharing with him our problems, our trials, our challenges, our distresses. I'm just going to read a little bit from Psalm 102 because this is a great lament prayer. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily when I call. For my days pass like smoke and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck like a grass and is withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. And it goes on and on as that, as he's just pouring out his heart to God. And we all lament. We all, I mean, basically whine. Usually mine is not that poetic and cool. But we all complain. And what he's talking about is this prayer of turning that to God, to laying it before God. And this is one thing I want to grow on. You see, a sign of a close relationship, I only have a few friendships that I can count that I can really just go and basically barf my feelings onto people. Tell them all the ugly about how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I'm going through. But that should be a kind of relationship that we have with God, that we can come before him and we can just lay out our feelings like, God, I'm angry, I'm struggling, I'm hurt, I'm depressed, I'm scared, I'm worried. Lay it all out there before God in this prayer. Lay it all out before God. It's submitting all of our circumstances and our feelings to God, even if they're wrong. It's submitting all these feelings to God, laying them at his feet, pouring them out so that God can minister to us and change us. It's letting God know us so that God can move through that and work in our hearts. Again, not to lose the respect and awe of who we are praying for. Like he does, he says, God, hear my prayer. Listen to me. I'm crying out to you. Crying out to God. So how much and where should we be praying? How much should we be praying for? I just got a few little things in there, snippets on that. Should we be praying throughout the day constantly, or should we have set times of prayer? Because I know some people are like, do you pray? Yes, I just pray as I go about the day. Which one should we do? And we should do both, honestly, is the truth. I've got a few verses in there. Romans 12:12, he just says, be constant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Acts 1:14, it talks about the early church devoting themselves to prayer with one accord. Constant, devoted. It's a continuing act. That's a regular habit pattern of life. Pray without ceasing. It's this constant attitude of talking and walking with God. It should be the first response to any situation or need that we come across. If we're angry, if we're sad, if we're mad, if we're joyful, if we're any emotion that you could think of, if we're at peace, if we're worried, if we're stressed, if we're afraid, anything, that's a good time to pray. Take it to God in prayer. What are we doing with our idle thought time? When we're driving or when we're just sitting there thinking, what do we do in that time? Take that, submit that to God in prayer. A first response to any situation. In Luke 5:16, I like this one too. In Luke 5:16, we see how Jesus does it. It says he often went away to a desolate place. Here, Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Jesus made this a habit pattern. He was God. How much more do we need it? And he went to a desolate place. Why a desolate place? Because it was no distractions. That's another good lesson in there too. I mean, man, go to a desolate place where you can't get distracted. Whatever it is, find a quiet room. Put your phone somewhere else where you're away from people and from projects, from your phone, from social media, computers. Find that place that's without distraction. You see, it's about relationship. How much do we want to connect with God? That's how much we should pray. Obviously, most of us can't just pray all day long, but we can pray as we go about our day. God is always knocking, ready for our relationship, ready for our fellowship. So how then should we live? How then should we live? How should we respond to this? And just to be thinking about, what is your prayer life now? Think about for a minute, what is your prayer life? How would you describe it? Is it apathetic? Is it lifeless, just habit, routine? Is it about non-existent? Whatever it is. I've asked a number of people over the years, and I don't think I can recall anybody who said, my prayer life's great. It's right where I want it to be. Not many of us have that, but we all struggle in it in one way, shape, or form. What is your prayer life like now? And it's not because we don't have time to pray. We always make time for what's important for us, what matters to us, what we think will matter. We go to work, we do all the things we do because we think it matters, because we should. How much more so with prayer? And are you praying in faith and expectancy to the God of all the universe? I've got one more verse for you. This is in Ephesians. I like this one. Ephesians 3:20-21. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, we're praying to the God who can do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. Think of the most complicated prayer you've ever prayed or could ask to pray for. God can do that and so much more. That's who we're praying to. And he says the prayer through the power at work, according to the power at work within us. Through our prayers, through our actions, through our words, the Holy Spirit moves. That's why he talks about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous has great power. Great power. I like this. If you guys have heard of John Knox, he was kind of a famous guy that prayed. Maybe you've heard this quote before, but Queen Mary said of John Knox, he said, I fear his prayers more than I do the armies of my enemies. I fear his prayers more than I do the armies of my enemies. Wow, that's a pretty cool prayer life. And I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, does Satan fear my prayers? Does Satan fear my prayers? Does Satan fear your prayers? He should. He should. Are we having that kind of power in prayer? You see, prayer can change any circumstance, any situation, anything. But I think the thing that prayer always changes is us. You see, as we pray, God builds up our faith. He turns our focus onto him, onto his kingdom, that his kingdom would come on earth. He changes our attitudes and our desires. If we lament to God and pour out all that we're feeling, good or bad or ugly, God can take that and he changes it. You see that in the Psalms all the time. They start off just with this complaining, and by the end of the Psalm, it's worship, because God is changing the prayer, the psalmist, as he's praying, as he's pouring out his feelings to God. Let God change you. God transforms us through prayer, if nothing else. So again, our prayer life is, our faith shows what our prayer life is like. We are what our prayer life says we are in terms of our faith. Our lack of prayer shows our lack of faith. So don't be discouraged or give up. That's my encouragement to you today. Don't just come out of here discouraged like, man, I stink at prayer. Ugh, that's not the heart that God wants you to leave with. Today could be the start of a fresh start in prayer where you just refocus and re-energize your prayer life. Ask God, very key in this, ask God to give you faith. If you struggle in faith and prayer, ask God, God, I pray that you would grant me a greater faith in prayer to be able to pray as you lead me. Give me greater faith to pray. And then step out in prayer and let God transform and mold you, and pray that prayer and keep praying that prayer that God would build up your faith. And then some practicals, make a plan. Don't just be like, oh, I'll figure out prayer, I'll pray more, and then you leave it at that. That doesn't work. Make a plan. Figure out a regular time where you can set aside to pray. And then find your desolate place. Find your desolate place. Whatever that is, find your desolate place. Make that set time. Maybe you need to try like journaling. If you have a hard time focusing on prayer, maybe you try journaling, writing down your prayers. That can help you focus. I jog on an elliptical while I pray. I need to pray more. Because it helps me focus. It helps me. If I'm just sitting in a chair praying, I'm just asleep, because I do mine in the morning usually, or my set time. It doesn't work very well. But if I'm on the elliptical and I've got this prayer list in front of me, man, my prayer life can be awesome sometimes. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it's awesome. And man, I keep pressing on for those. Set reminders to turn you back to prayer during the day as you go about your day. I've got a note on my steering wheel, so then when I'm driving, it'll help me remember to pray as I'm driving. Set those kind of reminders at your desk, at your office, wherever you're at maybe, wherever you spend a lot of time. And the other thing is get accountability. God has placed us in this family here, in a life group, in a discipleship group, whatever it might be. Get accountability. Make your plan and then share it with somebody. Hey, I want to pray at this time regularly and in this place. Can you help me keep accountable to that? Ask them to that, and then let community work like it should be. Start and grow your prayer life. Fight for it, because it takes fighting for it. It doesn't just happen. Fight for it. Fight for it in faith that God will meet you there and that your prayers do make a difference, that you want Christ, you want that relationship with him. Fight for that. And God will meet you there. You see, you can't talk about prayer without talking about the privilege that we have to pray, to come before God in prayer. If you read the Old Testament, man, coming before God was an ordeal. Sacrifices and death and blood led to it, to even come before the God of all the universe. But we have this incredible privilege through what Jesus Christ has done to come before the God of all the universe, to meet with him, to talk with him, to lament before him, to worship him, to enjoy him. And that's not to be taken lightly, because that did not come at no cost. As we remember communion, we remember what that cost was. That Christ took the sins that we deserve, that punishment of death that we deserve, and his body was broken, which is why we eat the bread, and his blood was shed, which is why we partake of the juice, to remember the cost that we deserve, that death that we deserved, that punishment that we deserved, that God took that upon himself so that we can be made right with God, so that we could come before the God of the universe in prayer and have that kind of awesome relationship with him. That door is open for him. So as we get to partake of communion, I encourage you, remember what it cost and don't take it for granted. Let it turn your heart to prayer to come and know this God who gave his life for you so that you could know him. Let that draw you to prayer like nothing else. You can come and partake when you're ready. Just come through the middle aisles and circle around the side and enjoy what Christ has done for you. What a powerful name it is. That's a cool one to end on, to remember who we were praying to. What a powerful name it is. I'm going to close with this benediction that we read from Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thanks. God bless you guys. Go in the power and glory and beauty of Jesus this week.